right, man. Go ahead. Good morning.
Morning.
I've got a couple things to say before I get into my sermon. There's two reasons why at this time I'm not pastor. One of them is because of my health. And the other one is because of y'all. I can't keep myself away from this chapel. And the reason why, this is the only place I know of, even Sovereign Grace places, that you come and you hear the truth. And God has really blessed us. We've got two men that preach the truth. They were a small crowd, and these big churches would love to have either one of them. And but we are a family in Christ Jesus, and God has really blessed us to have these men to preach the gospel to us. I feel like I don't need to be here because there's nothing I can add that they haven't already said. I mean, that's just facts, you know. And a man that enjoys the preaching of the gospel any more than I does, he's just bigger and uglier than I am. That's just the facts. But this morning, I want to speak to you on, and there's so many versions, preachers, every preacher seems like they have a different version of law and grace, and accept those that believe the truth. Law and grace will not mix. It won't do it. You can't take the works of man and mix them with the grace of God. These fruits of the Spirit, and these are the gift of grace. And the first one's love. And the law has no definition, no covering for love. Love is a concern for, to the extent that it costs you something and you expect nothing in return. That is love. That's godly love. And I'm going to say that again. It's a concern for, to the extent that you love one another, you pray for one another, you're concerned for one another, to the extent it costs you something. It may cost you time, it may cost you talent, it may cost you monetary value, but let me tell you something. When you love someone, you don't look at those things. And that's what God's people do. We can't love like we should. But I'll tell you one thing. If we have not the love of God in our heart, we're not one of His. And that's just, I can't get no plainer than that. And but law had its purpose. It was given to teach us that we had to have a needed grace. And grace only comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 1:1, it was Christ was full, F-U-L-L, He was full of grace and truth. And that word full means He's the only one that had any.
That's right.
So if you've been saved by grace, you've been saved by Christ. But if you've been saved by your own works or somebody else's works, or depend on somebody else's works to get you into the kingdom of God, and I've told them, and I just take my kids and shake them sometimes. I remember what Earl used to say. He said, "I wish that I could take a drill and drill it right down through the hole in their head and pour grace in my family." He said, "I'd love to be able to do that." And that we that are saved by the grace of God, we truly know that without Christ Jesus, there's no salvation. Right. Salvation is of the Lord.
Sir.
It is. There's no other name under heaven in which we can be saved except that name, that man called Jesus Christ. He is salvation. Salvation, as Joe, I heard him say yesterday, in a person. It is. And that person is Jesus Christ. He's God. He's God the Father. He's the invisible God made visible. And He came for one purpose, to save His people from their sins. I said His people. Not what the world says, everybody. But He came to save His people. And He's going to save them.
Yes, sir.
And I just pray, we all pray that our families is a part of that remnant. That Christ put their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if it's not so, they don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. We've got it, but we don't deserve it.
That's right.
A man that thinks he deserves salvation, and his attitude is that God saved me for, you know, because I'm a good person or this or that, or he's never been saved. I mean, it's just that plain and simple. He's never been saved. And that's what the law says this. It says you must keep the letter of the law in order to be justified by the law.
Yeah.
And they wasn't but one man that walked this earth that done that.
Right.
And he done it for a reason. To save his people from their sins. He is our justification. He's our redemption. Everything that we have is in Christ Jesus. And Him alone. He is the God-man. There's nothing greater than a man lays life down for a friend. That's what Christ does.
Amen.
He not only made us a friend, He made us a son and a brother in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He is our salvation. All of it, completely. Without it, we have no salvation. It's only a fixation. They talk about cults, and I've been called a cult, and I guess everybody in here has been said they belong to a cult. Let me tell you something. Everybody that's outside of what we preach here at the chapel is in a cult. I don't care if they call themselves Christians. I don't care what they call themselves. They're a cult. They're just as bad as this bunch that's blowing people up, killing cops, and everything else. There's no difference. They're in a cult. And let me tell you something. People, God does not chasten those He don't love. And the reason we're going through these things today is because the church is not standing up for the truth of the gospel. Now that's just that plain, that's as plain and simple as I can make it. It's not being a good person. It's not taking care of the poor, which we should do. It's not to giving to flood victims and that. That's a good thing. But it is nothing to do with your salvation.
That's right.
Salvation is the Lord. And let me tell you something. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way you're going to get through the pearly gates. And I'm going to say that be a fact. If you don't believe in Him totally and completely, you'll never make it. That's just my opening statement. But in Galatians, I think it's third chapter, listen to what Paul said. Oh, foolish Galatians. He's saying, you're making a fool out of yourself. That's what he's saying. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Let me tell you something. The law don't, concerning every aspect of salvation, it does not have one aspect of salvation in it. It was given for a purpose. And that purpose was, it became a schoolmaster to teach us that we needed Christ Jesus. We needed His grace.
Yes, sir.
We needed his gifts, spiritual gifts. We need love. We need faith. And we will have that in Christ Jesus. But the law don't give any of that. It never gives any of that. Only thing it does is teach us just what, how bad we really are.
Yep, I see.
And that's what it does. This only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by works or by the law or by the hearing of the faith. The law demands perfection.
Yes, sir.
If you're going to be saved, if you think you're going to make it by on the deeds of your works, you're going to have to live a perfect life.
Yeah.
That's why Christ died for our sins.
Yes, sir.
That's why Christ gave His life for our sins, because He came to seek and save that which was lost.
Yes, sir.
And I'm so glad that I'm lost, or I was lost. I'm so glad that I'm a sinner. But it hurts me to know that I sinned against my God. But I'm glad, Walter, I'm a sinner. If I hadn't been a sinner, He would have died for me. Hell's going to be full of people that He didn't die for because they thought they was too good to heed and receive and center their faith and their life on the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. If you have born of the Spirit, He will become the center of your life.
Yes, sir.
It may take a while, but you got to grow. Earl asked me one time. He said, I'm going to ask you one question. I said, what's that? He said, how many Christians grow into maturity? And I had to think on that for a while. And then finally I told him, I said, Earl, I don't know of any. He said, you're right. He said, when you become so smart that you don't need to hear any more gospel, he said, stop, Lord, take you home. But I'm telling you this, the salvation is real.
Yes, sir.
And it's in a person. And it's in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Now we work because we have been saved.
Yes, sir.
We do things, and the Lord works through us to do things according to His will and pleasure, but that's not for our salvation. That's for our growth.
There you go.
And you know, tribulation is for our growth. My family's going through the awful trials now ever was. But thank God we will be spiritually strong no matter what happens after all this thing's over with. And we'll thank God for letting it happen.
Yes, sir.
No matter what happens, we'll thank Him for letting it happen. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I don't care what it is. We will become stronger through the trials and tribulations that we see in the flesh in this life. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? The flesh has never been perfect. Never. I don't even think it was perfect before Adam and Eve fell in the garden. I may be wrong, you know. But that's the way I look at it. But I'm going to tell you this. There is a perfection, and it is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And one day, we will be perfect like Him.
Yeah, that's right.
When He come out of that tomb, one of these days when the trumpet sounds and we're drawn up to be with Him, or out of the tomb, or whether we are changed in a moment and of a twinkling of an eye, we will be perfect in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus alone.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you that right now. He is our everything. He's all in all. That's what the book says. To every one of us, He's all in all. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you begun in the Spirit, you will end in the Spirit. God don't give you the Spirit of truth and don't save you by the... See, God declared that there would be a people. Christ paid the sin debt. The Holy Spirit administers that salvation to our soul. And let me tell you something. You won't lose it. And when you die, you're still going to have it. It's going to carry you right into the realms of glory. That's what the book says. I believe this book, word for word. It don't make no difference. If this book could tell me a cow could bark, a cow can bark. And I was just plain as it, I can't get any plainer than that. This book cannot lie. You know why? Because it's God-breathed.
Yes,
and when God says something, it must come to pass.
Amen.
It must. Not that it might, but it must.
Yep.
It must come to pass because He is God Almighty. He spoke the worlds into existence.
Yes, sir.
And He gave salvation to them, to those in whom He pleased to give it to them.
Yes, sir.
Even though we don't deserve it. But He declared that there would be a remnant. There would be a people.
Yes.
And those names that was written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be His people in eternity.
Amen.
And then them alone. Nobody else. Them alone. We have you suffered so many things in vain, it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it be it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You know, we can, especially a young Christian, we can be so easily led astray by somebody's appearance, by somebody's words, you know. You know, the devil can preach a soft sermon sometimes.
Yes, sir.
But there ain't no salvation in it. Not a bit of salvation in it. I remember one time I asked Henry, it was in a class I was in. Boy, I asked him, he said, how do you know you're saved? He said, you believe the Scriptures. He said, a man asked me one time, he said, Henry said he couldn't read. And he couldn't write. And Henry asked him, he was sick. And Henry went to see him in the hospital. He said, how is it with your soul? He said, Brother Henry, if you preach the truth, it is well with my soul. That's how important it is for us to preach the truth. Lying to people, lying to someone, even their kids or anyone, don't help a bit. It takes the truth. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Our right God imputed to us righteousness that we could not earn on our we could not earn ourselves. We could not earn by trying to keep the law or being a good person or anything else. Our righteousness had to be imputed to us because we were sin through and through. It's just that plain and simple. You know, the law, you know, these things that the law plainly states that you know the difference in law and grace. I'm gonna try to. I'm gonna quit. I've got to be in Charleston at 2:00. But the law demands holiness. For the law to be effective.
Yep.
For a person's salvation. It does. Grace gives holiness.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord. It does.
Amen.
The law, cursing is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That's what the Revelation 20 says. You must do it all.
Exactly.
Grace says, blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. The Lord said, the law says, thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Can we do it? No. It demands we do it. The law does. Grace says, here is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be our propitiation for our sins. He gives love.
Amen. That's right.
Let me tell you something. We love Him because He first loved us. And we realize what He done for us. Or we cannot love God unless we realize what He has done for us on Calvary's tree. That's the only way. That's the only way we could love God. The law... crucified. The law crucified the offerings every day and burned them on the sin altar. Grace, one man, offered his blood one time for the sins of a people, and that's all it took. Why? Because He fulfilled the law for us. He was a perfect man. He was the God-man. Perfect. In every way, shape, or form. He fulfilled 600... What is it? How many laws are there in Exodus? 600 and some? He fulfilled every one of them for us. And we broke them all. Because if you broke one, you broke them all. We're guilty. He took that guilt and he cast it as far as the east is from the west. You know, the greatest tribute of grace is mercy. Is mercy. You're forgiven. You was guilty, but you're forgiven. You know you was guilty, but you were forgiven. I mean, we couldn't lie because we're guilty. We come out of our mother's womb screaming and hollering. But grace offered one sacrifice for sin forever. By one offering hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The law declares that as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Grace said there's no condemnation. Judgment for sin for those who are in Christ Jesus because it's been paid for on Calvary's tree. Our sins have been paid for in full, past, present, and future. Henry Mahan, I found this article this morning. It was written by Henry, July the 3rd. If I can find it, I've got so much junk in my Bible. I still can't see. But anyhow, I get Tim James's church bulletin. He sends me every one of them. And I was reading one this morning. Henry wrote an article in there. He said, the wretched man that we are, not worthy of anything concerning the salvation of the soul. That's what he wrote. He said, but still yet, God loved us. And He justified us. And He sanctified us. He redeemed us. All these things concerning the salvation of the soul. And we didn't deserve a thing.
Exactly.
And if that don't make us see that we need Christ Jesus, then He did not. His blood wasn't sacrificed for us. That's what Henry wrote. And you know, here a man that's all blind, can't hear. I'm getting about the same way. But anyhow, what a blessing to see that he sees through faith all these things that takes place in Christ Jesus. He is all in all. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. What did Paul Thomas say when he seen the scarred hands and the side? My Lord and my God. And that's who He becomes when you are saved by the grace of God. And the law can't do that. No way. No way, shape, or form. Can't do it. And I must close. Father, we thank You so much for the love that You've given us in Christ Jesus. We thank You for saving us. We thank You for keeping us saved. We thank You for the growth that You apply to our life through the gifts of grace that You give us to strengthen us daily. We ask Thee for Your guidance in everything we say and do. And Heavenly Father, we ask Thee to forgive us of our sins, because we realize that no, without You, we are nothing. With You, we're everything in Christ Jesus. In Him we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Let's take a break, everybody. Thank you,
Matt. There it is. I read that.
Jump it on.
I found it this morning.